A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery. Grow your contact list and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
Coming to you live from my closet, it's Rob Has a Podcast, and now here's the guy who believes in the power of friendship, Jordan Parhar. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Rob Has a Podcast. My name is Jordan Parhar, not Rob Sesternino, filling in for him tonight because he's away at the Podcast Movement Conference in Chicago. But don't worry, we're still here to talk about some BB18. Should be a lot of fun. I'll be filling in for Rob tonight and tomorrow on the recap show. So getting a little bit of a different flavor behind the mic hosting, but I think it'll still be a lot of fun. So thank you very much for joining us. As always on Wednesday nights for our BB18 recaps, I'm joined by my good buddy Alex Kidwell. Alex, how are you doing?
Doing good, Jordan. Not rocking any bling tonight, but still a fun guy. Hey.
I was really hoping. I mean, I don't really have a lot of jewelry. Like, I have this watch, Alex, but I don't really have anything beyond that. So as soon as Paulie did that two chains reference, I was like, oh man, I need to get some chains. Like, how great would that be for the opening line if I had the two chains thing going on? But I don't. So then I was hoping you would. And it turns out neither of us do. I don't know. Do you think Brent would have some two chains?
Oh, I've got some chains that are, an embarrassing – they're around here somewhere. An embarrassing throwback to my high school years, Jordan. But no, I decided not to dredge those up in the interest of, my image or, whatever that may be. I don't know.
Oh man, that's too bad, Alex.
I'm
really disappointed, man. I just said I believed in the power of friendship, and now I don't know what our friendship is. The fact that you didn't do this, but that's okay. On the happy hour next week, I expect the chains. Okay, so bring them next week. Wear them on the show. It'll be lots of fun. Let's set things up for everybody tuning in tonight. So we are live on a Google Hangout here. We got the chat room going on robisawebsite.com. It is just Alex and I recapping this episode. So. We're going to need your guys' help tonight if we want this show to go on for a while. So send us your questions. If you got them, leave a comment on the YouTube video if you haven't done so already. Or you can tweet me. I'm at Jordan Parhar. Use hashtag RHAP, and we will get into your questions throughout the show. We're going to start off by talking about the episode, and then we'll get into the live feeds. I don't know how much about the episode we'll talk about because the live feeds have been very chaotic lately. So this should be a lot of fun. One other thing, Rob is at he's at the Podcast Movement Conference, but this weekend it's RapCon for everybody in the Chicago area. You can go meet Rob and Alex, Brent, Taryn, lots of different hosts from the RHAP universe. So I don't know if there are any tickets left, but there are going to be some events happening in the Chicago area. So if you haven't heard about that yet, definitely check that out. RapCon.com for that. Okay, Alex, let's jump right into this episode. Victor has been backdoored. He has been placed on the block. Paulie decides to remove Paul. Paul is so grateful and happy that the power of friendship came through for him. And Victor, I mean, I think he said that he said, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Alex, but he's been saying on the feeds that he kind of saw it coming. But clearly, based on the edit tonight, I think Victor was a little bit bamboozled tonight.
Yeah, he's been naive throughout this whole process. You know, we talked about it a little bit Monday with our, live feed update that he, even after, getting put on the block to a strong degree, I mean, he's still not entirely aware. You know what I mean? It's just it's a case of somebody who's just like a pretty straightforward, honest guy who's like wanting to take people at their word, and like everyone, he can't find one person who's shooting him straight. You know what I mean? So like he has no truth to compare any of these lies to. He's just getting fed lies from every direction. So yeah, I mean, it's, you almost feel a little bit bad for the guy, at least I do, because I mean, he really, like, it's like, you know, somebody who's just in such a deep hole, they can't possibly dig themselves out. Every time they think they're getting a little footing, they just slip and fall further. Yeah, poor guy, you know, I feel for him.
Yeah, I felt for him too. I think that, you know, just seeing that Paul scene where they're playing pool and Paul just like, he's trying to tell him, but Victor, he just doesn't get it. And it's just too bad. I mean, nice enough guy, but not really built for this game. What do you think about, I mean, I've seen some people say online, you know, this talk about the roadkill winner, maybe they should not be able to be put on the block because they're making some nominations. I mean, so, cause yeah, Victor was in a really good spot. He wins, or maybe not a really good spot, but you know, as so far his week was going well by winning that roadkill. Do you think that maybe Big Brother should have done something to prevent the roadkill winner from going on the block? Or do you think that's too powerful? What do you think about that, Alex?
I think more so than too powerful, the real issue there is how do you grant safety and maintain the anonymity? I just don't know how you would reconcile those things. You know, by definition, if the winner is going to be anonymous, then you can't know who it is. And, you know, if they're going to be safe, then you kind of have to know who you can't nominate if you're HOH. So there's really no way to reconcile those two things. The whole power of the roadkill is in the secrecy of it, and the secrecy can only exist as a result of, you know, like creating a situation where you're safe, you know, reveals – it has to reveal it. So I think that's the problem there.
Yeah, I think they kind of handcuffed themselves with this. That's why – I mean – because I feel like this kind of sucks for Victor, right? I mean, he had this power. He's won, you know, if Tiffany would have just looked over at Paulie's thing or someone else or Bronte's, then maybe she one-ups them during the veto comp, and we'll talk about that in a sec. But yeah, it's just unfortunate. I don't know. I'm not a fan of this roadkill twist. And, you know, because of this is going on, it's finding the right happy medium, I think is important with this. And I don't think they've quite, reached that with this twist, but luckily for us, I don't think it'll be around, to stay for very long. Let's talk about Tiffany here. I think that's a big point of discussion from this episode. We saw at the end of the Sunday night show that Tiffany got put up by Victor. And she was very emotional about it. She was channeling her inner Vanessa Russo in terms of her emotions. And hey, nothing wrong with that. Being on the block isn't easy. I know what it's like. I've been emotional being on the block too. But at the same time, the paranoia, I mean, just so, so huge with Tiffany there. Alex, when you were watching the feeds at this time, when this was happening, did we get an accurate representation on the show of what actually went down when that was going down live?
As far as kind of giving you insight into why Tiffany sort of became a bit of a pariah in the house recently, I felt like they did a decent job of going back. They flashed back a bit, showed some of the initial kind of confrontations she's had with Frank. They didn't so much show what led to that, which is that Tiffany has this very aggressive style of communication. I mean, she acknowledges it, but she – I think it took her, you know, having confrontations with people a few times to kind of, you know – recognize it herself and, you know, acknowledge that maybe it's something she needs to back away from, because she does have this manner of questioning people in a way that feels kind of like interrogation. And yeah, it's not good. It puts people on edge. So yeah, you know, Frank certainly is like one of the few people that'll tell you that like something you're doing is bothering him. So I think that's where the issues really came, is that Tiffany was doing something, you know, her style was off-putting to people, and Frank is the person who's going to tell you, like, hey, you're putting me off with this. So yeah, but then on top of that, right, like this, you know, her paranoia and kind of, you know, I think as much as Davon wants to say she, you know, she left last season behind her, it's, you can't not think about Vanessa when you're seeing these things. Like, of course she's going to have, you know, feelings about, like, Vanessa's the person who really kind of ripped apart Davon's early season alliance and like inserted herself in there and evicted Davon. So you can't really blame Davon for not feeling the way she does, or for feeling the way she does about Tiffany, because it, you know, it's deja vu for her.
What did you think about how Tiffany handled this situation? I know we talked about this on the Happy Hour on Monday. There was some debate as to whether Tiffany had actually thrown the competition or not during what was that called? It was called I wrote it down.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the Tozarks. Yeah. Yes, the Tozarks.
Boy, howdy.
Actually, I actually kind of like that name. But we were talking about that, and you know, Brent was saying he was so mad, and he was like, if we watch the show and Tiffany threw that, I am going to be so mad. But it turns out Tiffany was not throwing it. I think that was a good move by Tiffany. I don't think, you know, you can't. I mean, this early in the game, you never know. I mean, it is a debate, but I think when you are in trouble and you've got a shot to win it, she clearly had a shot at winning it. She was 1 point away from pulling that thing off. I think you got to take that shot, especially with all these vets and because of the Vanessa thing. What do you think about that, Alex? Did Tiffany make the right move by not throwing this POV?
I disagree, Jordan. How about that?
All right, there
surprise,
we go. So
this,
no, that's good, though. I mean, this is it's an interesting debate. I mean, we saw this on Twitter. I don't know if people were paying attention to Twitter this. It was on the weekend, right, Alex, when Daniel Reyes and Vanessa Russo were debating over this. So I'm curious, why do you think then that that Tiffany should have thrown it?
I think it's very situational. I think, you know, you talk about early in the game. I actually think this is a safer time than later to be doing something like this because of the number of votes it'll take to flip something against you. The sheer number of people they would have to flip, you know, to turn this completely on Tiffany this week, the house dynamics just don't support it. It's going to be very difficult. She'd really have to do some overtime work to incite that, I think. It's, you know, it's not an ideal situation. You never want to be in a position where you have to do this. Unfortunately, she put herself in that position by making a majority alliance with the bulk of the House, by being, you know, having the outburst that led to Victor targeting her over anyone else, thinking that she would be a good target for the House, by then, you know, subjecting herself to multiple people she's aligned with telling her to throw the comp. That's the thing. Once you have your whole alliance saying you have to do this, that's why you have to do it. It's not so much about, you know, to me, it's yes, is there a little bit of a risk you go home now? Yes, maybe 2-3%. But what she did is the worst of both worlds. She lost and she has everyone knowing that she tried. So right now, nobody fully trusts her because she's pretending that she threw it when everyone can see she's not. I mean, twinkling, come on. Like, if you're throwing it, do what Howard did in BB15 and do sails or sailing or whatever it is. I mean, something really basic, you know? The fact she used the 3-point K, you know what I mean? There's just too much there to indicate that she's not throwing. To me, like, didn't Dan even throw a veto once? Was he when he was on the block? I know he's thrown vetoes.
Actually, this really, I mean, technically, if we're saying this is week two, that is when Dan did it. And that's when, you know, certain people watch the show and say, oh, Dan threw the veto. I can do the same thing and it'll work just great. And spoiler alert, doesn't always work so great when
it's
you try
relative,
to do that.
It's all relative, right? See, it's yes. All about the image you have and what image you need to create. Dan was in hot water week two. His only real buddy had gone home and he recognized that he was the pawn. He was able to like really sniff out and be sure that he was the pawn. If you know you're not the target and you can throw it, it makes you look weaker. You know what I mean? Dan, he says in the diary room in that moment, I got to throw it. My whole game at this point is predicated on the idea that I'm a weak player. I've got to maintain that at all costs. He knew that there was a small risk going home right then. But if you want to win the game, you need to set up that narrative for the long term. And that's what Tiffany failed to do. She cashed in all her chips at once and she didn't leave herself with too many going forward, unless other things happen, which I'm sure we could talk about on the feeds.
We will certainly talk about that when we get there. Yeah, you know, the thing for me with Tiffany is that, like you said, she's stuck in the middle. If I was Tiffany, I would go for it, screw it, go for it, try to win, save your butt, win that POV. And if then when you save yourself, figure it out after, be honest and tell people. If this happens, which is, yeah, like you said, the worst case scenario, then what you have to do is you got to be honest. You got to tell everyone, hey, look, I'm sorry. I tried to win the veto. I wanted to save myself. I'm really sorry. I screwed up. I looked out for myself before the alliance. It won't happen again. I just am really nervous and paranoid, and I just wasn't feeling comfortable. Instead, what we saw in the episode, at least I don't know if this is what has actually happened, and Alex, you can tell us in a sec, but we saw Tiffany say, well, now I can just say that I tried to throw it. No, Tiffany, that is not going to work. And Devon and Frank were already on to her in the episode. Alex, since then, has Tiffany come out and come clean saying that she, in fact, was trying to win that POV?
No, but I mean, you know, I mean, we could get into it more on the feeds. Luckily, you know, some other stuff has occurred, and you know, the heat isn't necessarily as much on the veto comp. You know what I mean? Like that's the beauty of the Big Brother house, is that a day or two here and there, and focus has changed. But, you know, it certainly doesn't do her any favors to try to maintain a false narrative when you already have people suspicious of you that you're hoping to gain trust with. So, you know, it's not just people, you know, outside of her alliance. You know, if you need Devon and you need Nicole and Michelle and these people to stand by you, you got to be real with them, especially at this point in the game, especially if you're thinking about working with them for weeks and weeks to come.
Yeah, it's a tough situation either way. But, you know, we'll talk about it when we get to the live feed section of the show. I'm just looking at else here. What else we want to talk about from the episode? Let's talk about the Fatal Five. I mean, that's the other thing that we saw, you know, in regards to the whole Tiffany thing. Devon is really questioning the alliance. Nicole mentioned in the diary room, maybe we have to be the Fatal Four. Michelle and Zakiya seem to be on board. So now, I mean, it seems like, Alex, that Tiffany, I mean, if she's out of the Fatal Five here and she's already, you know, clearly, Frank is not on her side. Paulie seemed to be getting a little bit annoyed with her based on his DR earlier in the episode. Where does Tiffany go from here?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, we can, again, talk about kind of what she's done on feeds more so than I think on right now, but yeah, she's put herself in a tough spot coming out of this episode, right? I mean, there's definitely not a lot of equity in the move she pulled in veto. You know what I mean? And, you know, the fact that Devon even talks about how she really felt like Tiffany was trying to beat her specifically. Like, there's just a lot here to take away that's just, you know, bad for Tiffany. And it is crazy that, you know, she was nowhere on the radar. I mean, everyone's telling her how safe she is when Victor puts her up. And no one was lying. But through her own actions, through her own paranoia, through her own distrust of people and her inability to keep that to herself, I mean, that's really what's led to these DRs from Devon, from Frank, thinking about, like, if she, you know, why don't we just take the shot now? And that's the other problem, you know, is like that there are still technically two sides of the house, but the one side has all, you know, all the cards, and the other side is just, you know, a totally sinking ship. There, I mean, it might as well not even be a side. So because of that, even though it's only week two, people are already starting to look at turning inward on the 8-pack simply because of the complete lack of threats on the other side. Everyone else is just so clueless and just so far behind in terms of, you know, strategic information of what's been going on that I wouldn't be stunned if more of them last to like the jury phase simply because they're looked at as like we could get rid of these people whenever we want.
Absolutely, man. It's So I love the early game of Big Brother. There's so many different directions we can go into. Okay, Alex, I'm just thinking here. I'm looking at my notes. There's nothing really else I'm dying to get into. I mean, we saw Taryn mention on the Sunday episode that there is a James prank every single episode so far this season. We got that tonight.
That's true.
Yes, with the hashtag Captain Camo. So there we go. Fill in the James quota. But other than that, I mean, is there anything else from the episode that is you really want to get into? Because I really want to get into the live feeds because there's a ton of stuff that has gone down the past 48 hours.
Yeah, a lot of craziness going on. Yeah, I mean, you know, Paulie spelling sustainability. I thought that was pretty good. Good on Danny Zuko. Hey, you know, pretty impressive.
Yes. Yeah, that was good. I like that.
Worthy of note.
Worthy of note. I mean, if that wasn't if it was how long the word is, Paulie would have destroyed everyone with that one. But he had a couple of those, I guess, with 0 points. But
yeah,
what did you think about that? Did you like the idea of the Big Brother taking the Scrabble format with this and giving point values per for each letter?
Yeah.
Or do you like the traditional format where Russell Kyrus can win with shotgun in BB11?
Shotgun Russell, the love muscle. Yeah, no, this is I kind of like this. You know, this is more, I think, in keeping with like, yeah, you make the letters that are harder to use worth more points. And then I think now the strategy needs to become search out the high point letters first. You know, search out your vowels, search out your Z's or whatever else you think you might be able to use. I know like Q is pretty tough. But yeah, I mean, try to maximize those if you can. and study. If you're going to go into the Big Brother house, study, you know, your words with X's and Z's and stuff. I think that's the way to go from here on out.
I've gotten someone in the chat saying maybe they did this last year too. Did they do this last year? Okay, so yeah, my mistake there. Last year, I was just so out of it from Big Brother Canada 3 that I was like, I just didn't even know what the hell.
Yeah,
was going
no
on.
Worries. And it wasn't always this. Like, it's taken a turn for the gross over the last few years, where it's like they used to search different stuff, and now, like, I think 2 years ago they searched through like acne ridden they were searching through like whiteheads, and then last year it was it wasn't toe fungus, it was noses, right? Weren't they digging through noses? And then this year it's this. So yeah, it's just Big Brother has decided to make this like the gross comp now going forward. It's like spelling and foul smells is what this is all about.
For whatever reason, I guess they go together. Okay, well, you know what? I'm sorry to those of you who are spoiler free, but there is a lot of stuff we have to get into that's been going down in the live feeds the last 48 hours. We had some people calling for an emergency happy hour, which I'm sorry we weren't able to pull off, but hopefully we'll have plenty of time to talk about spoilers tonight. So if you do not want to know about the spoilers before tomorrow's episode, now is the time that we will bid you farewell. But you know what? Just stick around. Seriously. I mean, you saw who won the veto. The important stuff has happened. You're going to see this stuff tomorrow anyway. Maybe. Who knows? Maybe not all of it. But it's really good. So trust me, if you can, stick around. With that, cue the spoiler song.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler. This
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Let's jump into it. Okay, Alex. Live feeds have been crazy. I don't even know where to begin.
Me either.
This is awesome. So, you know, I think the thing that would be the easiest for people to understand and to be able to just comprehend things would be if you went through things chronologically starting from yesterday, because that's kind of when things really started to blow up, at least from my perspective. So, Alex, let's start with how did this mess begin? Like, what was the initiating incident that started the chaotic wheeling and dealing that was happening yesterday and apparently is now jumped into today?
Yeah. Well, groundwork was already laid, and we had talked about it some on Monday about how the APEC is you're starting to see some cracks. You're starting to see some people not trust each other. A bit of, you know, Davon doesn't trust Tiffany. Frank doesn't trust Tiffany. Davon doesn't trust Frank. Everyone recognizes that Frank is trying to bring in Bridget as some kind of goat for long term. Anytime someone mentions, you know, like who of the, you know, former Jose Four is going to be left standing, Frank brings up Bridget. It's really obvious what he's trying to do. Frank just, again, doing a lot of things without consulting his alliance, like talking to people, you know, suggesting boot orders, and this is the way it needs to be, starting to rub people the wrong way in terms of the level of forcefulness. While a conversation was going on about this downstairs between, like, the Fatal Five girls, or really, I believe it was the Fatal Four at that time. It's so hard to remember. This has been a whirlwind. While they were talking about Frank and how he's doing too much and how he might need to go sooner rather than later downstairs, Frank took the opportunity to tell Paulie upstairs about the 8-pack. So Paulie, who was not in on the 8-pack, was informed with Frank informs him, doesn't consult anybody about doing it beforehand, just takes it upon himself to do it.
Okay.
And this is a big catalyst for why people have really now began to, you know, turn on Frank more so.
So what was Frank's reasoning? Was there any reasoning for Frank telling Paulie, or it was just like that Frank wanted to try to rope him in? That's basically it. Okay.
Well, so if you want to give Frank the benefit of the doubt, right? I mean, which, you know, it's kind of hard to do, but if you want to like understand what Frank is thinking, right? Which is what we're trying to do here, understand where everyone's coming from. I believe that he thinks he's doing what everyone wants him to do to a degree. Like, he's just being the guy to voice what everyone's thinking. I mean, we saw it. Like, Dave Vaughn certainly got this ball rolling by telling Frank, like, in the storage room there. We saw it in the episode. Dave Vaughn has had multiple conversations with Frank where she has certainly stoked this flame. You know what I mean? Like, she has contributed to this anti-Tiffany sentiment that Frank is spearheading now. The idea that we need to get Tiffany out next week, which... You know, as much as you can say, we can bring in Pauly and replace. And Davon, actually, if you remember from the episode, Davon is the first to suggest that in the storage room. We don't even need Tiffany. We can just use Pauly. So I think to some degree, Frank thinks he's just actualizing Davon's vision. The problem is you just can't do these things without talking to people, regardless of whether or not you think it's what they would want you to do. Obviously, that's giving him a lot of benefit of the doubt. The other side is, like, he's just trying to look out for himself. He is, you know, trying to – like, he's got a little thing with Corey and Pauly, a little three. And I think he's worried that somebody would tell Pauly about the eight-pack, maybe Zakiya, because they're getting close. And he wants to make sure that he beats anyone to the punch about revealing this information. So the more likely scenario, and the one that if you're not a big Frank fan, you would probably take, is that Frank's trying to just cover his own ass. And it got exposed when Pauly inevitably – actually, Frank was the one who came clean and told people. Like, I told Pauly about the eight-pack, but it's the way he went about it. Not great.
Okay. So what was Pauly's reaction to finding out that, hey, Pauly, so just so you know, like, we're best friends, but – there's kind of been this whole bomb squad like alliance that you haven't been in for a week and a half. And just so you know, like, is that cool with you? Like, how did that go? Because I feel like that's it's a very awkward conversation if you're Frank.
Yeah, no. And I Frank tried to play it off. But right, there's really no once the information is what it is. There's no way to take it well. Pauly handled it about as well as you could expect. But you know, it's interesting. You hear him talk about it later and he says stuff like, yeah, I don't even care. But I have noticed, like, it has made me see things, like, differently. Like, now I notice, like Nicole stopped talking about whatever she was talking about when I came in the room. So, like, he definitely does care. He definitely has noticed, like, this has affected him to some degree. And, like, you know, and it has been confirmed for him. Like, he talked to Zakiya. He's not, like, holding grudges or anything about it. Certainly, he's, like, glad that he's now on the inside of the loop. But I, you know, you'd have to be crazy not to be a little bothered by the idea that this was made. And not only were you not in it, you were the guy who was on the block the first week. So that's pretty scary if you're Pauly.
So when Frank told the other, you know, the other members of the APAC about this, how did they react to Frank's face and how did they react behind Frank's back?
Yeah, I mean, not pleased. You know, obviously, you know, he tells Davon and Zakiya and Nicole and he tells James. And for the most part, they're just like, OK, you know, like, and they just kind of, you know, wait for him to kind of say what he has to say before later kind of gathering in rooms and talking about, oh, this idiot or this, you know, this guy, he's playing for himself. He's not worried about the group. He's not taking care of the team. The interesting thing is that, yeah, in like the last really today, it has been, you know, Davon is kind of so anti-Frank and has really been continuing the anti-Frank narrative to a point that you're actually seeing some conversations about whether or not it's Davon who needs to go soon and not Frank, simply because, like, Frank has told people that information that allegedly had come from Bridget about, you know, how Tiff was targeting Frank did in fact come from Davon, that was a lie that originated from Davon, and everyone is finding that out now. And Nicole is still, I think, on board to get rid of Frank. But if I'm Nicole, and I think Nicole is, because she's playing a pretty smart game and she's really well positioned, you have to be a little worried about the idea that Davon can turn the tides against Frank so quickly with a lie. It would make you wonder, can Davon do this to me? Would she? You know what I mean? And I think that's where Nicole's head's at right now. So it'll be interesting to see, because, you know, the real strength of this eight pack was in the four vets being on the same page. And in many ways, they're on four separate pages right now. Davon, you know, had talked about there's a lot of ideas going around in the last 2 days about a final five deal that includes basically the two kind of showmances, Pauly and Zakiya and Nicole and Corey with Davon. And that's great. Say yes to that. They're offering you a final five. Instead, Davon has kind of spread that around and said, but I don't want that. That's two couples in me. Like, she's telling James we need to do something to avoid that. You know what I mean? So it's just too much in week two. I love Davon. She does great DRs. I hope she stays forever. But like, this is just, it's simply too much. Like, other people are burying themselves. You don't need to pile on. You can just let them do what they're doing, you know?
Right. I mean, I love Mama Day so much, but just stuff like this, it's just like, ah, what are you doing? It's just, worried about final five. Davon, it's week three. Who cares who you get to final five with at this point? Like, half those people will probably be gone, including you at that point. Why are you freaking out about that? And you know what? Being in a final five with two showmances, that's not so bad. Is that so bad? Because you're in the middle. You're smack dab in the middle of both of them. I mean, that's not the worst thing in the world, but regardless, it's just so frustrating. Okay, so
yeah, it is. It's crazy. Like, we never would have guessed coming into the season, like, that simply by doing nothing, James would be arguably the best veteran, because
right?
Nicole is kind of, you know, back in a showmance, and that's putting a bit of a target on her. Frank is doing way too much, and, you know, alphaing around the house, and also farting, which, like, it's hard to say, like, control your body. You know what I mean? But it really is bothering people. Like, he's clearing rooms left and right. And, like, that is at a point where it's like, dude, just go to the bathroom and, like, figure out your situation and then come back. You know what I mean? Because that's a problem. Like, when people are actively talking about it when you leave, like, it actually is kind of bad. Old man Frank, man. So, yeah, you've got Davon scheming, Frank aggressively farting, and Nicole showbancing. James, by just hiding in trash cans, looks like a strategic mastermind right now.
Oh, man, Captain Camo, that's crazy. yeah, the farting and going to the bathroom thing, I think that is a really good strategy. My French teacher told me that when I was in grade four or grade five, and my life has just been so much better ever since.
You never know how you're going to benefit by just going to the bathroom in the Big Brother house. It worked for your boy Kevin.
Right? It worked for Kevin really well. So, I mean, you never know. Going to the bathroom, never a bad thing. Okay, so let's just you know, based on what I had seen, the last that I had seen last night, and I was working all day. I raced home, watched the episode, and came into this. So I haven't really had too much time to look at, or really any time at all, to look at what's been going on the feeds today. So you kind of mentioned where Nicole's head is at as of right now. Has there been any more, you know, fallout from what was going down yesterday? Have there been more events today? Is Frank catching on to this? What exactly is going on now?
Yeah, really, the bulk of today is spent, you know, people having conversations about Frank and about how Frank is, you know, Frank's name is going to come up soon, like maybe as soon as next week. People are already talking about plans, elaborate plans. I mean, Davon is illustrating an elaborate plan to the Fatal Five, you know, about how they need to, like, get Corey to win HOH, and then they can get Frank up with the roadkill. I mean, very elaborate stuff, you know, like, That's too much. Again, you know, what you need to do is just hang on to these thoughts until you see who wins HOH and then move from there, you know, because, like, and it's interesting, you know, Paulie and Tiffany are having a conversation today, and Paulie said, like, I didn't realize how much this game really is like chess, but there, you really can only act so many moves ahead. And he's absolutely right. Like, the more weeks down the line you start to write checks for, the harder and harder it is going to be to actually cash them things when it comes time. Because you, once any bit of information starts to leak, whether even if you just tell it to, like, your number one ally, you just don't know. I mean, once you put something out there, it's out there, and now it can come back to you. And this is one giant game of information. So that, you know, sooner or later, that stuff does happen. Like with the, you know, the idea that Davon told Frank that Tiffany is coming after him, which wasn't true at the time. Like, now that's made Nicole question Davon, which wasn't a thing before. And Nicole was, you know, and still maybe totally on board to get out Frank next. I mean, she has only had these conversations with Paulie and Corey. So maybe she's just stringing along those guys. You know what I mean? At the same time, you know, Davon could have gotten away from this blameless. You know what I mean? There's really no reason to be in this position. But yeah, it's really about Frank today. Everyone's kind of talking about how many deals he seems to have made. And that's the problem. It's like, once people start talking about you, a lot of stuff comes out in the wash about how Frank, you have a fight, you know, oh, Frank made a final four with us. Oh, he made a final four with you. Frank made a final four with me. Do you think he has final twos with everybody? You know what I mean? And like, that just kind of ruins your your clout in the game. Like, your word carries a lot less meaning now. And really, the only person who I think is, like, taking Frank's words at, like, 100% face value now is his goat, Bridget, who, like, is still just, you know, she's trying, but it's just so funny how bad she is, because she's like, her only strategy, as I mentioned on Monday, is just trying to bake for people. And even people are onto that now. People have called out Bridget's baking as a strategy. Like, how bad do you have to be where your only game is baking and people are even onto that? Like, that's rough, man.
Oh, man. Poor Bridget. Okay, so for Frank then, so it seems like only, like you said, Bridget is the only person who is really taking his words at face value. Is Frank catching on to this? Like, does he have any idea that these other house guests are talking about getting him out, like, ASAP? Because we were talking on Monday, Brent, Taryn, and I, and you guys were saying that he didn't think that the girls were forming anything, so... is he still thinking like that?
Yeah, no clue. I think, yeah, he's been very dismissive of the idea that the girls would form something without him. I think he really thinks the vets are locked in. Like, it makes no sense for the vets to ever turn on each other. So maybe he's operating with an assumption that's false, and it's, like, emboldened him to do things that he shouldn't be doing. But, yeah, I mean, he thinks he has a solid three with Corey and Pauly, and that may still be pretty solid, but Corey and Pauly have privately talked about, like, it's us two, ride or die to the end, actually, right, buddy? And let's just take everything Frank's – I still trust Frank, but let's take everything he says with a grain of salt, you know? The thing that was interesting this afternoon / evening – yeah, I guess night for me, but it's kind of still afternoon for them on the West Coast. You had James almost doing – it was kind of reminiscent to me of, like, the Paul-Victor conversation where Paul wants to give – when they're playing pool. It's like Paul wanted to give him information, but he knew that in doing so he would, like, expose himself. It's like James was kind of telling Frank stuff like, man, I really think, like, the eight is starting to form, like, inner groups. Like, he's like, I'm really worried about us turning on each other and stuff. And he's just like – just in as many words telling Frank, like, dude, keep your ears open and your eyes open and just watch out, man. So, like, I think this is, you know, where it's all going to be a bit of a mess in the next week or so. It's like you've got a lot of just different information going around the house because people have had all these different conversations in such a short amount of time, and they just, you know, taking what someone else has said and running around with it. And now it's been a crazy game of telephone that's just moving too fast to be accurate right now. Like, Davon thinks James would be willing to throw HOH and put – or, like, win and put up Frank – or win Roadkill and put up Frank. And, like, you know, but now you have James, like, you know, throwing Frank a bone here. Like, there just seems to be a lot of – I think we could get this person to take out Frank next week, but nobody – does anyone actually really want to be the person that does it? Remains to be seen. Like, I think it'll be interesting to see, A, who wins HOH, B, how hard people try to persuade them to go after Frank, and C, if it's actually something that anyone wants that much blood on their hands this early in the game, because Frank is a massive target.
I feel like just based on what I've read and what I've seen, Tiffany would have the guts to take a shot at Frank. Is that correct, Alex?
Oh, she would totally do it. I mean, yeah, you know, they've, like I said, Day has really stoked that flame. And it involves, you know, poisoning Frank against Tiffany and poisoning Tiffany against Frank. And there was already, you know, it wasn't that hard to do because they already didn't get along so good. So, yeah, Tiffany would be happy to do that. The problem is, like, yeah, I mean, that you would have to get Nicole and Corey's team to win HOH, and you would have to get Nicole and Corey in on this fix to some degree, because Corey would know that giving Tiffany HOH would be bad for Frank. Maybe he would end up with him on the block. He, you know, there's a lot of mistrust across the board here where it's like, I can't envision everyone being down with throwing it to Tiffany. Tiffany would almost have to win it outright. Frank definitely wants his team to win it. He's talking about, like, we should win it and, you know, give it to, like, he's fine with giving it to, like, Bridget or, you know, Michelle or something. He's you know, hoping for or having James win or something. But it's really a situation where, like, a bunch of people are hoping for other people to throw it and they're hoping for other people to throw it. And it doesn't seem like it's just going to be a bit of a mess, I think, coming up, because this whole thing is just exploding inwardly, like, as we speak.
Yeah, I don't know about you, Alex, but I cannot wait for tomorrow night. It is going to be, oh, man, it's going to be hectic. I can't wait. It's going to be so much fun. Let's jump into some of your questions, guys. If you want to get those in, you can leave a comment on the YouTube video, or you can tweet us using Hashtag RHAP. This first one comes in from Timothy Kyle Tucker. Timothy says, with Day, Nicole, and Frank all playing recklessly, I don't know about Nicole playing recklessly, but Alex, maybe you can talk about that. Do you think it is possible that this season will have a Final Four with no vets left? So first part, is Nicole playing recklessly? Just because what I've been, you know, seeing and reading, I don't think she is, right?
No, she's in a good spot. I may have like alluded to that when I lumped her in. I kind of like made a half sarcastic joke about James playing the best by doing nothing. Really, the only thing about Nicole is how close she is with Corey, that everyone sees that's like, even if they're not kissing, they might as well be, because everyone sees them as a showmance. And it has led to Davon saying things like, I don't want to be in a Final Five with the showmance. You know what I mean? So there's a little bit, like, if you want to, you know, pick apart there, sure, you can make a bit of a meal out of a morsel. But no, I think Nicole's doing a lot of things really well. And I think she actually, probably more than anyone, can dictate who goes home next week if she wants to throw her weight around and make that call. Because Davon has done a lot of dictating, Frank has done a lot of dictating, and people are on to that now. So instead, you're seeing more conversations in closed rooms with Nicole about just the general goings on. And I think Nicole is kind of seen now as more of a like, kind of someone who's also just, you know, going along with aggressive players. So if she wanted to take more of a, you know, leadership role among the non-vets, I think she could pull that off.
So then the second part of that then is, do we think that the Final Four could possibly end up having zero vets there?
Yeah, what totally. Totally, yeah. Possible. I mean, you know, there's not a lot has to go down. They're already turning on each other. You know what I mean? And it's really early in the game. So, you know, I think more likely is that one of them's there, that, you know, whoever kind of, you know, emerges out of the four of them as like a clear winner will make the Final Four. I think, you know, it's probably more likely to be, you know, Davon, James, or Nicole than it is Frank, simply because even if you're Frank's ally, you got to want to get him out, or at least start thinking about getting him out before then, given his propensity for competitions. But yeah, no, I think Nicole or James have good chances still at making the four. I think the other two just, yeah, I mean, Frank needs to stop doing so much, and so does Davon to a degree.
Yeah, Davon is not making the Final Four. I'm calling my shot right now, and I don't think that's a very bold one at that. I honestly, it's hard. I think that one of them will be there just because James can pull out a competition win if he needs to, and right now he's just doing nothing, which is great for his game. And mm-hmm. Yeah, same with Nicole. She's got Corey as that meat shield there as well. So I think one of them will make it. I won't be shocked, though, like you said. Otherwise, okay.
And
let's
I think,
go.
Also, I was going to say, I think Nicole really benefits from just the notion that, like you've got Bronte in there, who's like, you know, really kind of up the creek without a paddle. She doesn't really have anyone to turn to too much. One thing I did want to mention, like Tiffany has tried to bring in the Spy Girls some. We talked about that some, and that's really
yes.
Where you asked where she's gone and when she seems to have nowhere to go. That's who she's tried to confide in more and bring in to a degree. And yeah, it's interesting with Bronte. Her strategy right now seems to be like, let's try to get rid of a guy, and then maybe it'll just be so obvious that the eight girls need to work together that they won't be able to ignore it. Like, that's her prayer right now, is that like she is really tethered to the idea of just like, my only shot is with girls. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, maybe Bronte is someone that, you know, Nicole can use going forward, or even Davon, to try to actualize something they want to get done.
Speaking of Bronte, we got one here from Nate Hall. Nate says, going into week three, is there still some hope left for Bronte to survive, especially with all of the Tiffany Frank Cold War potentially turning hot? So, yeah we're assuming Victor is going to go home tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That hasn't changed, right, Alex?
Yeah, right. I mean, I think, you know, we were asked on Monday, what can Victor do? And I think to me, it really just speaks to how it completely dead in the water Victor was, that all this can go down with Tiffany as a bit of a focal point, and it's still going to be a unanimous sweep tomorrow, as far as I'm concerned. Like, it's really, really clear that, yeah, I mean, there was not much he could have done, because other people have really actively tried to hang themselves and they still can't, you know, beat him to the noose.
What are Bronte's chances of surviving next week then? Because it seems like, you know, Frank is, you know, at the top of a lot of people's hit lists. It seems like Tiffany's at the top of Frank's. But Bronte, I mean, on paper, before all this happened, Bronte would have been target numero uno, correct?
Yeah. They're still talking about the possibility of going after Bronte next week. Simply, I think, for the idea that everyone is scared about the idea of like breaking suit. You know what I mean? If you turn on the eight, that sets the precedent that now it's time to turn on the eight. And before you know it, the final five includes Bronte and Paul and Natalie. You know what I mean? Like, so nobody wants that. They want to make sure they've sufficiently like decimated that side before making the move inward. And I think that's where a lot of people are torn right now between we don't want Frank telling us what to do. We're terrified of Tiffany's paranoia. We're worried about Davon scheming. But can we really address any of these things now? It's so early that, it, you know, and that's why it's ridiculous, all the conversations that are taking place, because nobody can really act on any of this information they think they have. So, yeah, I mean, Bronte's, you know, helping herself simply by just time is what's benefiting her. Just hang on until this massive group just feels like there's no targets left but each other and turns inward. And before you know it, I mean, that's just going to be blood for blood. And you could just sit on the outside and just kind of like watch it trickle down the drain as you make jury. So that's the spot she needs to find herself in. And she could very well, depending on who wins HOH this next week, it's possible that they're going to stick with the plan and go Bronte. But it's probably equally possible at this point that someone wants to shake it up.
Crossing my fingers. Let's everyone pray to the BB gods tonight before we go to sleep. We're getting that shakeup because then the season will definitely kick into high gear. Okay, this one is from Blake Benji. Blake says, considering superfans have done well in the recent past, at this point in the game, could you tell me which players are considered this season's quote-unquote superfans and which are clearly recruits? Thanks.
Michelle.
So that's it. So Michelle is the only super fan in the house.
It depends on how you define super fan. If you're talking about someone who watches feeds, yeah, I don't think that any of the new players have really checked out feeds except Michelle, who clearly watches live feeds and is a big fan of the show.
Okay, so then who is clearly a recruit that doesn't know anything about the game? I mean, we saw tonight Paul was pretending that he didn't know the rules of the POV when he actually did. Great job by Paul tonight. And that's something I think we brushed over a little bit in the recap of the episode. Paul's looking great. I'm really liking what I'm seeing from Paul lately. What do you think about Paul so far, Alex?
Right. Yeah. Oh, and Zakiya. Right. Zakiya has been watching for a long time. I don't know if she's ever dabbled with feeds, but she has been watching the show forever. Paul, I think, is an example of somebody who, like, if this was a season full of new players and full of recruits, like, Paul could be a good player this season, potentially. I don't know that he necessarily is as good at persuading people or, you know, winning friends and allies as he thinks he is. But he's learning quickly and he recognizes the right things to do better than almost anyone in this house, including some of the people who've played before. Like, there are people making the same mistakes that got them evicted in previous seasons. And you've got Paul learning after 1 week immediately, okay, this is what I need to do. And it seems like common sense to some degree, but it's really not, because the instinct is to do what Victor did and like be mad and be bothered by the fact that they got you. You know what I mean? And Bronte, you know, to just be scared and feel like it's got to be like, you know, we saw the whole show tonight focused on the idea that Victor is going to get blindsided. But every Bronte DR focused on how Bronte thinks she's the target, because she's just so consumed with the idea that I'm on the block. I voted for Polly last week. Surely, like, I'm the one. Like, that whole, you know, the rug was pulled out from under them, and now they're just, they're shaken. They're disturbed. You know what I mean? And they don't really know, you know, if they could be operating with that much bad information for that long, now they can't really trust anything they think they know. You know what I mean? Like, it's really, it F's with your head pretty bad when you think about, like, the psychology of it. So as a result, yeah, you've got, like, a lot of these people who really are just, yeah, I mean, still just so far behind in terms of the strategic game. And Paul is being given tidbits of information because he did the right stuff, because he just laid down and just agreed to everything and accepted the premise of his position in the game and, you know, blindsides his own buddy and agrees to whatever the HOH wants. And those are the things you got to do if you want to survive. He's right. We can't all make it. The clock is ticking for one of us, and he doesn't want to let it be him. Good for him. That's how he should play it.
All right, this next question comes from Mr. Epic. Mr. Epic says, is it just me, or have these vets barely learned anything from their past mistakes in their previous seasons? Yeah, I mean, we kind of touched upon this a little bit, right? I mean, I guess Nicole has, But I don't – I mean, James is kind of doing the exact same thing. I mean, I guess it's working for now. But Davon and Frank, it doesn't seem like they have learned anything, right?
Well, I think they all really are to some degree. And I think it really speaks to how hard it is for human beings to change what's a natural behavior. You know, like, you can't just say, I'm going to change this and then change it. Like, you know, Frankie Grande talking, you know, and I hate that I'm bringing him up, but I actually really liked that he talked about how he worked with like a life coach specifically for Big Brother. He prepared like he tried to like learn how to control his temper. He tried to like do things that would better who he was for the game. You know what I mean? Like, to me, that is the correct approach. Like, if you really want to actualize change, it takes like, you know, active, you know, like you have to like go to, you know, some kind of life coach or a therapist, or like actively engage in like daily behavior patterns that like reframe your mind and remind you of like what you're trying to change about your behavior. And like, that's a lot of work. Like, nobody really wants to put in that kind of work. So you tend to see people after enough time. And again, that's the key. You know, it's easy for one week to be a model citizen. But after 2 weeks, after 3 weeks, after 4 weeks, you're going to see people revert to who they really are. And that's Nicole getting bored and finding a guy. That's James getting bored and finding a trash can to hide in. That's Frank getting bored and becoming a cocky dude. And that's Davon getting bored and getting, you know, throwing some shade around a little bit. You know, that's who these people are. That's why they were chosen. That's what makes them good TV in a lot of ways. But it also speaks to just how hard it is to come into the game playing something different, no matter how much you might want to.
All right. Let's take another one. This one's from Zach Kennedy. Zach says, why are these people only wanting Victor out? Why not just have less stress and take out Bronte? Is it simply the boredom making them overplay? So would it be less stressful if they took out Bronte instead of Victor? Because I feel like, I don't know, do you really want to keep Victor around now that you've actually taken this shot?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I guess the only upside is if you wanted to somehow turn it against Paulie, because we know that Victor would hold Paulie responsible for the situation. You know, he doesn't necessarily know how deeply the fix is in. He thinks this is Paulie's move, you know, more so than it is everyone's move, which it really kind of is. I think the reason you're not going to see this is because that ultimately Bronte is, you know, pro-girl. And even if not everyone realizes to what extent they can work with her, like, that's got to be in the back of their heads right now. I think, you know, even if it hasn't turned into an outright battle of the sexes, the idea that there's a numerical advantage for the girls is in the back of some people's minds. And whether or not they want to exploit that now, you know, maybe not. But, you know, when you're talking about like, who do we get rid of, and your choice is Victor or Bronte, and you don't care much either way, you know, I think most people in the eight pack should want to keep the person who they think they have a shot at maybe working with down the road if they need the number to pick up. And most people in the eight pack are female. So I think the inclination should be Bronte, especially with Victor really kind of being a bro's bro. He really hasn't done a lot to make connections with other women in the house besides, I guess, like his initial showmance with Natalie and how he's, you know, somewhat maintained a relationship with those girls. Like, he certainly hasn't, you know, established a relationship with the Davons or the Nicoles. Well, a little Nicole. He's tried to flirt with her, but, you know.
Is his way of flirting, I can't get that little package we got on the show a couple nights ago where Natalie was saying she doesn't like how Victor talks to her, and what he was saying. It's just like, oh my God, like, How did he have a showmance with Natalie that first week? Like, I wish so badly we have feeds for so many other reasons. But just for that, like, just mind-blowing there.
And for Natalie's sake, I'm glad for, you know, that Victor's going to leave, because Natalie just she's just at her wit. Like, she just can't talk about anything else over the last couple of days. Like, she's just so tired. Like, every little thing Victor does now bothers her. It's almost like how Victor was with her, where he's, like, pointing out all the little things. Now that's Natalie with Victor. Like, now that she knows his number's up and, like, it's easy to like badmouth him to everyone else because everyone knows what the story is. Natalie's just on this whole anti-Victor train, which is funny. It's almost like the just irrational levels of Michelle hating Bridget, which has gotten very extreme.
Okay, let's take this one here from Karen M. Karen says, what can Tiffany do to regain trust in the house? I mean, I don't know if there's really anything she can do, Alex, other than, like you said earlier about Bronte, kind of just waiting it out and letting all this other pandemonium happen around her. is there anything else that I'm missing? I mean, she's talking to the spy girls. Are the spy girls accepting her, or are they kind of just iffy on that?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing, is they were kind of drowning, right? And she throws them a life preserver. So they're very receptive to anyone who's willing to, like, seem like they're interested right now. And Tiffany was willing to do that. Unfortunately, that was part of a little bit of what got her in hot water with her alliance, is they saw that she was trying to do that. The good news is that last night, I mean, like you said, time and not doing anything while other people have their moments and hang themselves. You know what I mean? Because it's a roller coaster. You have your ups and downs. And if you can stay level for long enough, other people are going to become the new, you know, talking point in the house. So whatever's just happened is going to be the conversation. And luckily for Tiffany, I mean, yeah, Frank did enough. And Frank, you know, really, mostly Frank telling Pauly about the 8-pack was the catalyst that made Devon say, all right, enough is enough, and, like, go and squash her issues with Tiffany. I mean, she really felt like, I mean, and to her credit, she's absolutely right. You can't be, like, targeting both of them, you know? I mean, she's got to pick one for now, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, she's brought back in Tiffany. The Fatal Five had a meeting, and it was the five of them, and they really kind of, like, hashed out that, like, Tiffany says, like, look, I just get paranoid, and I just need you guys to just kind of, like, but I'm not my sister, and I want you to know that, and saying all the things, the right things. Because Devon kind of, like, coached her, like, I need you to not be Vanessa right now, and I need you to make it clear to everyone that you're not going to, you know, maybe she could have worded it a little better, but Tiffany understood and received the message in a receptive way. And, yeah, it does seem like the Fatal Five girls are on point right now. The only thing, like I said, is, like, Devon is really gung-ho about getting out Frank. So is Zakiya. So is Tiffany. How much so are Nicole and Michelle willing to stick their necks out for that agenda? They're both very risk averse players, that neither one is going to be inclined to nominate him if they win HOH. I can tell you that right now. They're both kind of more inclined to wait a few weeks before, you know, busting up the what they've got going right now, trying to, you know, ruin a good thing. And yeah, I mean, I get where they're coming from because they can work with Frank.
Yeah, as Colin Stone says, hashtag always be throwing, Alex, especially at this point of the game if you are Nicole or Michelle. Let's take this one from Goob1155. Goob says, what do you think Frank's best move is? This is a tough one. I mean, is there anything Frank can do at this point? I mean, he's just dug himself into this hole so early by just having this, you know, air about him in the game. And it's unfortunate because Frank is so entertaining to watch in the show. I love to watch Frank on the edited version of the show. And whenever I have had the chance this season to watch feeds, Frank is a guy I always tune into. But I really think his days are numbered at this point. And secretly, I kind of hope he goes home next week or the week after, because then we'll get to see him in the battle back. So, Alex, what do you think? Is there any rabbit Frank can pull out of his hat? Is there a dance funeral within Frank that he can use?
Sure. Yeah, it doesn't even have to be that intricate, I don't think. What really, he just has to get wind of the idea that the girls are plotting against him, specifically Devon. If he can really understand that what Devon told him about Tiffany coming after him was a lie, then he can maybe go squash it with Tiffany and, you know, blow up Devon. Like, this is a bit of a game of hot potato, right? And, like, it started with Tiffany, and she was able to kind of, like, pass this, like, social, like, you know, the social pariah card on to Frank. And now Frank is the topic of conversation. But there is a path here for it to be Devon, because Devon was so involved in stirring up this controversy in the first place that you can kind of make her the culprit of this if you have the right conversation with the right people. He's benefiting already without even being aware, simply because Corey has been brought in by Nicole on this plan of targeting Frank, and Corey is probably a bit more pro-Frank than he is Devon. So Corey is like trying, like Corey and Pauly maybe to a degree are trying to convince Nicole that Frank maybe doesn't necessarily need to go right away. Let's just watch him. You know what I mean? So that stuff is happening without Frank having any idea that this is going on behind him. If Frank were to find out that these conversations are happening and he could trace it back to Devon and Zakiya, like, I think there's a very real way for this to blow back on them and him to find himself in a more powerful position than he was before, which is interesting. I mean, it just kind of remains to be seen, again, who wins HOH. And, you know, if it's Frank, people are going to be coming to him with stories to try to save themselves personally. So that'll be interesting to see. If it's Devon, I think, you know, she's at the point now where you may as well just take the shot it, Frank, because as we talk about on these shows, like, if you're going to let the information get out there that you're targeting someone, you may as well just take the shot now, because it's going to get back. And, you know, when you don't have power is when you don't want people finding that stuff out.
Has Frank talked about winning HOH?
I don't think he wants it for himself so much. I think he thinks he doesn't need it. I think he's trying to find a way for his team to win it, but maybe without him winning it. I think he'd be fine with, you know, James winning it, or, but I think, again, he's just really not suspect of Devon. That's really the key here, is that Devon is the one. Devon and Zakiya are the ones who really want to get Frank out. I mean, Zakiya is really pissed that Frank told Paulie about the 8-pack, because, like, she's in, like, kind of a showmance with the guy, and she's been lying to him. You know what I mean? So, like, if you're Zakiya, you totally get why she's, like, had it with Frank. You know what I mean? But it's just a question of, like, could they, go after him so rabidly that they lose sight of their own games in the process and end up doing more harm than good to their own personal games.
All right, let's take this one from Dylan Deming. Dylan says, looks like Jordan is rocking some makeup. Color pop from Zakiya. Does it look like I'm wearing makeup, Alex? I'm not wearing makeup. I mean, it is kind of – I mean, as Frank said in that episode in the HOH room, it is very hot in my closet right now. So maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, you got good lighting there under the staircase, Jordan, in your little Harry Potter room.
Yes, exactly. The cupboard under the stairs.
Yeah, 9 Privet Drive. Why do I know
is that? Was that your British accent, Alex? That was I don't know what accent that was. That sounded like,
no. I think it was just like this. I think that's just like what the narrator of the audiobook sounded like to me.
You listened to the audiobook of Harry Potter? You didn't actually read it?
I think I did both at some point.
Oh wow, look at you, working overtime. Okay. Learning new things about Alex Kidwell every day. Okay. Miss Kadeon says, who would you say is in the best place right now? And who would you say is in the worst place? Okay. So, Alex, first part, who's in the best place in the house right now? I mean, has to be one of these people that we're not even really talking about, right?
Yeah, probably. I'd say, like, I would argue Nicole, because even though, like, she's like, it is good to not be mentioned, but also good is to be the person that everyone wants to talk to. And that's what Nicole is right now. She's like, yes, she's in on all the conversations, but she's not like the catalyst of any of them. You know what I mean? She's not the one talking. She's there to listen, and everyone wants her there to listen. And that's like the Andy spot. That's where you want to be. You know what I mean? You want everyone to think that you're their person to confide in. And so then you have all the information. And I think Nicole has the most information in the house. And, you know, she could, you know, which puts her in the best position to do something if she decided she wanted to. I think Michelle's in a really great spot as well, simply by getting herself in the majority within the majority and then basically kind of going to sleep. I mean, really, all she's focused on right now is her dislike of Bridget. And it's actually good because, like, people just think it's irrational and silly. So people are just kind of almost like, oh, Michelle, she's just so, you know, it's funny how much she wants to get Bridget out. You know what I mean? And people just kind of dismiss her a bit. And she's going to be here a long time at this rate. The only person talking about any danger is, like, Frank recognizes her as the one super fan. And Frank, having played with Ian, knows the danger of keeping someone like that around to the end game because of the mental comps that'll crop up around 5 or 4. So Frank doesn't want to let Michelle get to the end. But, I mean, he doesn't want to target her now. He's certainly got too many other people to think about. So Michelle's in a great spot. People in bad positions, obviously Victor. He's going out tomorrow night. He's going to need to win the Battle of the Box. So that's a bad spot. Frank. I mean, Frank is not in a good spot, depending on who wins. Bronte still not in a great spot. I think Paul is actually safe for now. I don't think anyone would necessarily be targeting Paul next week, which is good. I mean, he's done a lot this week to really help out his cause and, you know, remove himself from the very bottom of the totem pole. You know what I mean? As long as you're not target one or target two, like, you can work with it. You know what I mean? So he's done just enough, I think, to try to hang in there until we get to, like, a mid-game phase where, you know, the deck of cards gets shuffled once again. And then I think, you know, besides Victor and Bronte, obviously, like, Bridget is not only totally clueless, but people are already, like, a little tired of her and, like, the idea that she – like, she's just too transparent. Like, she wants information because she has none. But, you can't just, like – you know, you come off as really desperate when you're just like, you know, hanging on every little morsel anyone else says. And then they find out that you talk to other people and what you say gets back around. She's just playing very sloppily. And it's not, you know, the only thing, the only saving grace she's got is that she's playing so sloppy that nobody takes it seriously. And so nobody's actually concerned about what she has to say because no one's giving her anything to use, really.
Sloppily. I like it. Is sloppily a word or is that just sound like a
totally
in my
word.
Head? Is that a word? Because in my head it just sounds so weird. Okay,
it's
we're
an
going
adverb.
With it. Sloppily. Okay,
yes,
so there
sir.
We go. Okay, jumping over to Twitter quickly. Got a question from Edward Morris at Coral Fanatic. Edmo says, "When do you think the roadkill ends, and when jury starts or end or when the teams end?" Yeah. So what do you think about this roadkill? For me, I'm thinking when the battle back ends. Alex, where are you at that on that?
Yeah, I could see that. I would hope that the teams end soon because I really think the teams, more so than even the roadkill, is really kind of like just this isn't Big Brother. You know what I mean? Like it's a different dynamic and I'm not crazy about it. And it also makes it very hard to track like he thinks he's going to throw, but she's going to throw and who's not going to throw and who's on what team. And it's unnecessary. It's redundant. And it's not really contributing anything to the strategic, the week to week of the game. I think that's a good call. I think sometime around the battle back, I mean, them scheduling that like they did and when they did strikes me as kind of like, you know, almost the jury phase, like almost this is the point where, you know, we begin the next stage of the game. They do tend to kind of mark that. Reminds me a bit of BB13 where that happened with the kind of the Brendan Luan superpowers point of the game. It was right about there, you know, and then they did something similar. So, yeah, what was that? You had like Keith's Angels, Cassie, Luan, Brendan. So you had like it was four, right? Or five?
You had four
in a popularity vote, and then the winner competed against Luan. So
yes.
I think like after 4 weeks, I would say is probably a fair time to expect that, and that would be right about there. So yeah.
Okay, one from Jordan Chong at Jordan T. Chong on Twitter. He said, "Did Victor underestimate that Calafiore charm and social game?"
Yeah, you know, it's all about the social game. It's the Calafiore charm.
See,
what it's all about.
I can't do it, so I needed to make sure we got that. You know, on BB18, we got the James quota that needs to be filled with the pranks. On RHAP this season, the Calafiore charm, that quota's got to be filled every episode, and there's no Rob, so...
You're not hanging out with enough people from Jersey, Jordan. What can I tell you?
No, I'm not. So hopefully someone tomorrow can do it too, Alex, because, you know, you're not going to be there, and I certainly can't do it. So that should be interesting. Okay,
I'm sure Ian's got it covered.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Ian is all about that Paul Calafiore. He's all about that. He's got all the impressions on lock. Okay, let's take one more. This one, and I lost it. Oh, my. Here we go. No, there's so many questions, guys. Thank you very much for sending those in.
Yes.
This
love.
One is much love to you guys. The power of friendship.
You beat me to it. It really is.
Really is.
It's a powerful thing. Okay. You don't underestimate it. It's like that heart ring from Captain Planet, man. That was actually secretly the most powerful one. People don't know, man.
Okay. Wow, I did not. The heart ring really was the most powerful. Well, again, learning so much. Okay, the BB president, he's got the last word on tonight at the BB president. He says, "Who do you think has benefited most from the fallout of the past 48 hours?" Interesting question, Alex. I have no idea. You would know this best. What do you think?
Who's benefited most? I'd have to say Tiffany. I mean, for the sheer element that she was out. I mean, they had made it the Fatal Four, like we saw in the episode. I think maybe we should make it the Fatal Four. They were having meetings and not including her. That was happening. This Frank situation has caused Devon to recognize the need to work with work with the devil I know. Like, I don't know about this Frank guy, but I've played with Vanessa. So maybe I could deal with Tiffany for a little while longer. And so, yeah, that's really helped Tiffany. Now she's included in the Fatal Five meetings again. It is kind of messed up to kick her out anyway, considering she came up with the name Fatal Five. You know, it is a bit of like the Caleb, like you're not in your own bomb squad type of thing, which is, these are these like In unintentionally hysterical moments of Big Brother that I kind of live for. But yeah, no, I mean, she's right back in the mix now. People are trusting her with information that they were worried she would freak out with a couple days ago, simply because, like, they want the fix to be in on Frank and they want to get everyone on board now. And so she's, like, back in the loop now, whereas she was out, you know, not 2 days ago.
I feel the sympathy too for Tiffany and for Beast Mode Cowboy. As someone who unintentionally got kicked out of my own alliance that I named, it's not fun. It's not
cool,
fun.
Man. It's not cool. No, just make a new name, you jerks. Why are you gonna?
Right?
It's like Puff Daddy. You're gonna like take my stuff, and then I'm not gonna even get any royalties for this. Like, this is ridiculous.
Okay. Oh man.
Just
so much fun.
Oh, we're just sampling it. We're just sampling it. What happened?
Alex, anything you want to add before we get out of here tonight?
No, I think at this point, the takeaway is, the too long don't read version. It's chaos in the house. Nobody can act on this chaos until someone new wins head of household tomorrow. So, I'm excited to watch feeds tomorrow night. And look for our Friday update, during the day as well, because that should end up being if things play out accordingly, it could be a lot going down Thursday night.
Yeah. Oh, are you going to be so Alex, you're traveling to Chicago because you're going to be going to RapCon this weekend. So are you going to do that podcast in Chicago? How's that going to work?
Oh, that's a good point. Right. So we're doing a panel on Saturday. So maybe we won't do the Friday thing, but maybe I don't know. Maybe me and Taryn and Brent will try to do like a Snapchat live feed update or something. Maybe we'll try to figure something out.
What's your Snapchat if people want to follow you, Alex?
Oh, man, you put me on the spot. I think I'm AKidwell87.
AKidwell87. So there you go. If you want to follow Alex on Snapchat, get those live feed updates in your Snapchat feed. Check Alex's story out. If you want to follow me on Snapchat, you can too. JPAR21. Terrible Snapchat name. I need to change it, but I don't think that's possible. So
nope.
I don't know how I'm going to do that. Yeah. Anyway, thanks everybody for tuning in tonight on this episode of Rob is a Podcast. Lots of fun chatting about everything on the feeds and the episode with Alex. We alluded to it earlier. We will be back tomorrow night, live after the episode, myself, Brent Walgamont, and Ian Terry, after the eviction and after hopefully the results of the HOH competition. So it should be really exciting getting into all of that. So hopefully we can see all of you guys there, and I really cannot wait to get into it. If you enjoyed this episode of Rob Has a Podcast, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Get more. Go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. Never miss an episode while you're there. Alex, we need a hashtag for tonight's episode. Does anything come to mind for you?
I'm looking at the chat room. I see people talking sloppily. I thought that was good.
I like that. Sloppily was good.
You didn't know if it was a word. That's fun.
So let's go hashtag sloppily. I think that's a fun one. A lot of people are saying hashtag Jordan has a podcast.
If you want
to go hashtag Jordan has a podcast, feel free. You can shorten it to hashtag JHAP.
We also talked about old man Frank. I saw someone mention, I like that one as well.
Old man Frank. We could do that. Farting in the bathroom. lots of potential things. You know, it's a choose your own hashtag night on RHAP. You can pick whatever you want.
Yeah, JHAP is short, so you could go with that. And you can also do old man Frank or sloppily if you like one of those.
Yeah, I pick one of those. We're cool with it. Tweet us, though, regardless of which hashtag you choose. And let us know if you made it all the way to the end of this, what you thought of this episode of RHAP. I am at Jordan Parhar on Twitter. Alex is at Alex Kidwell. And, you know, if you want to, you know, last year when I filled in for Rob, when I had, it was Taryn and I and Spencer Clausen.
Yeah.
The end, we did hashtag hire Jordan or hashtag fire Jordan. If you want to do that, you can tweet Rob as well. And if you want me fired, hashtag fire Jordan, feel free. Got a lot of those last summer. It was very funny.
Why do you do these
comments.
Things to yourself, Jordan? Why do you put yourself in these positions?
Oh,
it's just your Big
like
Brother
it.
Game all over again. You just can't help but shoot yourself in the foot.
Yeah, I really do like it a lot. It's fun. It's amusing for me. And we're just doing a podcast about reality TV. So if people want to fire me, you know what? It's totally cool. I don't mind. Okay, guys. Well, that's gonna do it for this edition of the podcast. Alex, have a great time in Chicago.
Woo.
And have a great time. We were talking in the pre-show. Alex is really excited to get into Pokemon Go. So Alex,
check that out tonight.
Yeah, so have fun with the Pokemon Go. You're going to have to let me know how that goes.
I think around my neighborhood and see what's available.
Well, maybe there's going to be different Pokemon available in you're in Silver Springs, Maryland? That's where you're at?
Yeah, maybe I go to Chicago and there's something else out that way.
Find something
see
new
what they
while
got
you're
out there.
Well, you're in Chi-Town, so you'll have to keep us posted on Twitter and your Snapchat about that. Okay, guys, we will see you tomorrow night live after the episode with myself, Ian Terry, and Brett Wolgamott. Thank you so much for joining us. For Alex Kidwell, I'm Jordan Parhar. #Sloppily. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Peace out.